History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
2 hours down, two to go. And it's time to do something a little bit different, a little bit new. Now, we tried something different on Wednesday, went a little market action, little buyer-sellers. We did that with Anthony Allant. Today, we're going to welcome in James Bridges. We're going to go to Change Your Mind and got to backstory it a little bit. We got to give the people what they think they're getting here. So, basically, James has come prepared with several takes that he thinks that I'm going to disagree with. And I feel like James is a good person to do with this. He knows the way that I think pretty well, I feel like. So he's got some things there. He's going to present them. And I'm going to, as the title states, try to change James's mind. We're going to have a friendly little debate here. It's inspired by the Change My Mind meme template that is set out in front of college universities, and they throw random things on the front of it. That is where we got it from here. So we're going to change your mind, and we welcome in James Bridges. Here we go for the very first time.
What up, Big Weesh?
What's going on, James?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm doing all right. We got 2 hours down, and we're feeling good. And as I look up at the Cavs score, I don't think there's a way to be bad tonight.
You know what? This would have been a great game to go to because it would have just been fun. Like blowouts and just massive just beatdowns. Oh, man, they're just great to watch sometimes. But it's only when it's not your team. When it's your team, it's like the most depressing. It's like being a Browns fan. Oh, man.
Yeah, you head for the exits right about now. You're like, I could watch a historic comeback, but I'm probably not going to. I could go to bed at a normal time tonight. I could turn on 92.3 The Fan. I can listen to Jake Volnick. I can listen to James Bridges. I can listen to Jax Gregory. What a better way to spend your Friday night.
Yay, yay. All right, let's get started. You know, we're going to start with something we just left off on. Ryan Day should be fired if they lose to Michigan again.
Okay, so if they lost to Michigan again, I would be on the fence. But I'll tell you the side of the fence that I am no.
Okay.
Losing to Michigan, right? This is it's a weird concept for people because everyone gets everything in a touch because in years past, if you lost to Michigan, it likely cost you your season, right? There was a slim chance that you were actually competing for something after that game. Now, sorry to break it to you, doesn't really matter. Like, if they lost to Michigan, they're not falling out of the top 12. If that was their only loss, aside from, because then you'd have to think they're probably not competing for the Big Ten championship. I don't think that's really going to matter, because Oregon then's going to go on and win that. Ohio State will probably slip in as, like, a low seed. If they completely missed it, we're on board. Same place. This game does not matter as much as it used to. If this is the game that you're going to pick to lose, and you're going to lose to number one Oregon, it's not going to carry the same level of weight. It's just going to be, oh, there's a loss. You know how many two lost teams are getting in the college football playoffs this year? Probably like three or four. And one of them would 1,000% be Ohio State.
Big Weej, Sir Jake, I would not disagree with you if not for the fact that it'll be the fourth year in a row you've gone 11-2. And the reason you keep going 11-2 is because this team up north keeps beating you. And when you got this job, you knew and understood one of the most important games on your schedule, no matter how far you go or when your season ends, is that game right before Thanksgiving against that team that wears blue and yellow. And if you lose to them one too many times, it's going to be a problem. If you continuously show a pattern of losing to them, then, hey, what are we doing here? Why are we paying you all this money? And you definitely can't lose to them this year when they have a coach who, what's the gentleman's name? It doesn't even matter. That's the point. You should not lose to them this season of all seasons and all years that of his tenure. The previous three, I somewhat give you some bail because it was one of the Harbaugh brothers. So, okay, cool, NFL coach, but you can't lose this one. You lose this one, boy, fire up the grill and put that chair up on it because it's going to get hot.
I'm an Ohio State fan. I would borderline calling myself a diehard, all right? And I don't think I'm quite there. There's people who care a whole lot more than I care. Ohio State fans and diehard Ohio State fans care way too much about the game. They care way too much. It is like cult-level care of like – there were people telling me, okay, I had this conversation. I was filling in for the barbershop. All right, I was having it with Earl. There were people calling in and telling me, and this was not Earl's thought either. I want to make that clear. Not Earl DePortal's thought. He did not agree with this. But they were telling me that it meant more to them to beat Michigan than it would to have won a national championship. Like, it would have, Ryan Day, they said, if he wins a national championship, a loss to Michigan that year, fire him. In what world? In what world does playing one game against a random opponent who happens to be your rival, again, big game, love rivalry games, love them,
you get can't it. Say it's random when it's a rivalry opponent.
It's not random.
Opponent.
It's not random. It, misspeak. All right? That's on me. But it's not random.
But I get the point you're trying to make, but that's the point. It's Michigan. It's like the Browns and the Steelers, the Patriots and the Jets, or excuse me, the Patriots and the Dolphins. It's just the certain teams and certain rivalries that hold a certain significance. That's all.
Not that but level of significance, though.
It's okay, man. You have the right to be wrong. Let's go ahead and move on. Next, we're going to go to the Browns.
Okay.
The Browns would be foolish not to go after Justin Fields in free agency if available.
Okay, so I like Justin Fields. Make that very clear. Right?
I sense a butt coming up here.
Oh, there's...
Where's Sir Mix-a-Lot at?
I feel like the butt in this situation is like the whole point of the segment, right? I'll show you where I agree, but the whole point of the segment is the butt, all right? I like Justin Fields. I think Justin Fields actually has a good chance to still be like a solid NFL quarterback as a starter. Especially if you keep Kevin Stefanski around. No chance. No way you're bringing in Justin Fields. This guy is legs first, okay? He's done a little bit better with Pittsburgh to start to rely on his arm a little bit more before he starts utilizing the legs. You're using them as a second option rather than the option of like, hey, I got to get out of the pocket and make something happen because I don't feel comfortable in here. He's done better at it. You're basically running out Deshaun Watson 2.0, though, by getting Justin Fields in the sense of it's a quarterback that does not fit the system. He does not fit the Kevin Stefanski system. Everything that Kevin Stefanski likes to do is not what Justin Fields is good at doing, right? Again, hammer home the point. I think he can be a very good NFL quarterback. I like Justin Fields. I like the way that he plays the game. I thought you probably shouldn't have benched him for Russell Wilson. I don't want him to be the Browns quarterback. And you're just setting yourself up to win, at best, probably like 7 games next year. 8 games. And guess what? That is the worst place to be in sports. When you win 8 games, you go 8-9 as a football team. Well, congratulations. You just took yourself out of the Arch Manning sweepstakes or any other pick that you had. And also, you're probably not playing for a playoff spot. And even if you are, you're getting first round for sure at 8-9.
Oh, boy. I'm so happy you went all the places you went. You know what? A team that continuously goes like 8-8, 9-7 for like the last, like, let's just say 6 years. You want to take a guess who that team might have been?
The Pittsburgh Steelers.
Exactly. You know, they keep consistently drafting guys who start off as a second stringer, or they're just impact useful guys who you don't have to worry about. We don't ever watch a Steeler game and come away like, dang, man, they had like 4 just random penalties that could have been avoided. We don't look at them as this undisciplined team because they're drafting guys, even in the middle of the draft, that are good. For whatever reason, their scouting department is running circles around us here in Cleveland.
Kenny Pickett is not good.
They got rid of him, but think about this, right? Granted, they had issues on that offensive line for a little while. So, but that defense, that's all draft, baby.
Yeah, defense is good.
So, I mean, they do something right with their draft. When it comes to Justin Fields, I think he reads the field a lot better than what we assumed Deshaun Watson did. Well,
that's and a also, low bar. That's a low bar.
You are absolutely right.
You could army crawl over that bar.
No, but I think Justin Fields will have learned something from this stint, and I think that he, while yes, uses his legs, he had no choice but to run for his life in Chicago, and he didn't have no weapons. As you said, he's looked really good during his first 3 to 4 starts in Pittsburgh. I think you bring him here with the understanding that you have a better shot to go and get the number one job, and he's probably not going to be stashed away from you because the guy who's going to come back isn't going to be ready till next. Look, man, he's not playing for the Browns next year, man. I'm just going to tell you. As a guy who torn his Achilles, that man ain't playing for the Browns next year if all possible just because of health stuff. But I think Justin Fields is the guy that he's that second – retread kind of quarterback that isn't old that you can go get and have for 7 to 8 years and I think be solid. And now you can go spend some money on these other pieces like, hey, we might need some guards. There's a good strong chance we might need a right tackle, even though we may have shored up left tackle because Jack Conklin keeps getting injured.
Do you know how many teams successfully compete in the NFL at the highest level without a star quarterback?
When the stakes rise and the lights get bright, that's when you find out who can really swim. Deep Waters is a new UFC podcast from CBS Sports. Every Monday, myself, Dean Thomas, alongside with legends of the sport, Chris Weidman, Jorge Masvidal, and Dustin Poirier, bring you inside the octagon like no one else can. Deep Waters, new episodes every Monday. Watch on YouTube or listen on Apple, Spotify, and everywhere else you get podcasts.
It's about one. Their name is the San Francisco 49ers. I would not want to be of the Steelers. I would not want to be them. They can't win a playoff game to save their life. But Mike Tomlin is a regular season merchant.
But when you talk about the 49ers, they surrounded Brock Purdy with so much damn talent.
Yeah, they did.
He had four all-pro guys around him. It would be very hard for you to fail. Oh, an all-pro left tackle. Come on. Like that's different than just throwing any random quarterback in there. But
well, Deshaun Watson had the best offensive line close to it in the league. The by far best defense in the league, and Amari Cooper and David Njoku catching passes, and they didn't win very many games.
If I was just going to let you go on until you told a lie, we'd be here till 2 o'clock. That would make Jax very happy, though. Let's keep moving. The Cavs are on a roll. They are whooping on the Warriors 108-69 in the third quarter. The Cavs regular season, I know people like to say the regular season is meaningless, and that's not true. But I would say the Cavs' regular season is a failure if they do not finish with a top two seed.
Ooh. I am so in the... So, like, the regular season matters, but it only matters so much. Right? I think getting, like, a top... Top two seed's nice because you basically guarantee yourself back-to-back home series.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you get a four, you kind of just got to be happy with it. Like, if you get a top four, now winning 10 straight games, I would hope you get higher, especially with, like, the 1-6 or 1-7 start for the Bucks. You have a slow start for the 76ers as well, dealing with injuries. Like, there's a lot of spots that you can kind of climb there. The Knicks don't look that great either. It really doesn't matter to me as long as you get a top four seed, and then you go take care of business. I don't know even in here. Here's where we can debate a little bit farther. I'll push you a little bit even more. Cavs failure, like, I think they would view it as a failure if they didn't make the Eastern Conference semifinals, right? That's why you fired JB, because he couldn't get you there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even think you need to get there this year. I think if you take leaps and bounds and your team looks better, like, so if you go in the same spot, right, Eastern Conference semifinals, and you played the Boston Celtics again, and you played a legitimately close series and lost it, I don't think that's a failure of a season, considering that you're going to continue to get better next year. This is not a team who is, like, the average age of 30 and getting worse. It's still a young team who's processing and getting better. As long as the result with your eyes looks better and you set yourself up for the future, I think you're fine. You want to compete this year. You want to be great this year. And it's wonderful if they are. I hope they are. When they get to the playoffs, I'll expect them to be. But when I look back at it weeks later in the bigger picture, I think I'll be able to look at it and be like, well, as long as they kept up this pace of play, this kind of play, not the 10-0 part, but just winning and looking good with your eyes, I think you'd have to be happy.
You couldn't be more wrong, Sir Vulnick. The regular season definitely matters. I want to say, look back at those Kyrie Irving, Durant, Harden, Nets. You look at the Clippers from last year and the year before when they traded for Harden from the Sixers and got Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. You know, these teams that don't play together, there's something about that chemistry and just feel for the game that is not there in playoff basketball, where possessions are much more precious and the pressure moments. You need to know, what is our plan? How do we what's our counter to that? I think these games are very important. With the fact that they're starting off 10-0, Or looking like they're getting ready to go 10-0.
Oh, they're going 10-0.
Look, man, anything can happen. I've been a Cleveland fan for a long time. I saw a team lose a game with zeros on the clock. You know how hard that is? They were winning, and then they lost the game with zeros on the clock after the fact. It's crazy, right? But no.
Everyone who contacts me within 3 seconds of the loss, you can get $1 from me if they lose this game. This ain't happening.
But no, I think that this regular season definitely matters. And for them to prove all the things that they've been saying about being a good defensive team and building on good habits, I think it's important that they do this throughout the regular season. If you don't make it to the conference finals after this hot of a start and you fail to, like, the third or fourth seed, that would be such a disappointment, because you started off too well. That means there was a terrible collapse in the middle of your season that cannot, should not be tolerated, and that would then point to, then what was the point of changing the coach if we were just going to fall apart halfway through the season?
Again, I think it's more how you look. on the court than the actual result for this year. I'd love him to be great. But again, it's not you just lose to anybody in the semifinals. I think it's more like if you lost to, again, the Celtics and it was a close series, then I'd be like, eh.
Maybe you should have finished the top two seeds so you wouldn't have to worry about seeing them to the conference championship. You know, it's almost like a Ryan Day Ohio State thing. Beat Michigan and you maybe get a two seed and don't have to face the number one team in the first round.
If you want to be the best, you got to beat everybody. That's the end of the line. All right, that was Change Your Mind for the very first time. Again, I want to hear you guys' feedback at Jake Vol on X. I had fun with it. I thought it was a good time. James, great work out of you. Had fun. When we come back, let's get back to the Browns. We were talking about where they could go in the draft, who they could get. Is that really all it takes to fix the team? 216-474-0092. Jake Volnick right here on the Fan.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.